So Priscilla Ryder is a social epidemiologist and a gerontologist and a health services researcher. She's an assistant professor with Butler University, the College of Pharmacy and Health Sciences in Indianapolis. She's been working in health and behavioral science for more than 25 years. She has a PhD degree in epidemiology and biostatistics from the University of California, Berkeley School of Public Health, and a PhD in epidemiology from the University of Maryland. In Baltimore, or School of Medicine, excuse me. Her work centers around health disparities in immature older adults, especially physical and psychosocial environmental determinants of disparities among older urban adults, health effects of discrimination, and relationships of physical, mental, and cognitive health.
Okay. Thank you.
So I'm a health services researcher, but I am a mixed methods researcher, so what I'm going to be reporting on today is some of our qualitative work. And I was helped on this with two students, Bucky and Katie Jane, and this was our program asks our P4 students, our final year as they're doing their rotation students, to do a research project, and so this was Bucky's research project. Let me see if I can. Yes. Okay. I'm sure I don't have to tell this group about the important role of community pharmacists. That we know that the care provided by community pharmacists can improve outcomes. We also know that pharmacists can play a really important role in reducing health disparities, especially for people with chronic health conditions. We know that the role of the community pharmacist has expanded tremendously over about the last decade or so, with people doing more and more things like preventive services, consultations on behaviors, screenings, management. But we also know that the public is not as aware of the expanded role. Let me tell you about one of my favorite populations to work with is African-American women who are raising grandchildren. We know that in general African-Americans as a population are underserved and tend to have more negative outcomes. We also know that the numbers of kinship caregivers, those are non-parents who are raising or full-time caring for a child, is increasing, and this is the highest percentage in African-American families, and that in those families, the caregiver is likely to be the grandmother. And we also know that grandmothers who are raising their grandchildren are much more likely to be living in poverty and to have poor health outcomes than non-caregivers who are of the same age and race. And we also know, those of us who work with grandparents raising grandchildren know, that frequently these caregivers are neglecting themselves in order to care for their children. So this is a very interesting population for me as a health disparities researcher and as a gerontologist to work with. So this was Bucky and I put this project together called The Meaning of Medication and Medication Adherence in Mature African-American Kinship Caregivers. And we looked, it was very exploratory, it was kind of scattershot. We were looking at things associated with medication adherence. We were looking for beliefs in this population about medication, because we know that how people think about their medication really affects their adherence. We were looking at how they prefer to talk to both the prescribers and the pharmacists. We were looking at how they see the pharmacist's role, and we were looking at coping strategies. So here I'm only going to report on the pharmacist section, so the section about how they want to talk to their pharmacists and how they want their pharmacists to talk to them, and about how they see the role of the pharmacist. So this was done in Indianapolis, and we talked to African-American custodial grandparents who were at least 40 years old and had at least one chronic condition that's commonly treated with medication. So we did recruitment through people I knew, and we also worked with Women in Touch Ministries, which is a local faith-based organization with a lot of overlap in their personnel with the Black Nurses Association of Indianapolis, and they helped us enroll people. And we would have these interviews at some location, wherever the woman wanted us to go. So we did interviews in Starbucks and, you know, fast food places and their houses and all kinds of places. And so each of the participants completed a demographic and health questionnaire as well as their semi-structured interview. And upon completion, they got a $25 gift card. So we recorded the interviews, had them transcribed. I did most of the interviews, Bucky did a few. And then we coded them. Another pharmacy student and I, who I've worked with before on working on semi-structured interviews, and I coded them. And so we were using grounded theory analysis to allow the themes to emerge. Okay, so we did 22 interviews. All participants were self-identified as African American. Our average age was about 57, 58, but they were anywhere from 40 to 80. About half had some college education, so they're fairly well educated. Most were not working at the time. Most were not married at the time or had a lived-in partner at the time. Most of them were caring for either one or two grandchildren, and several of them were in the sandwich generation, so they were caring for these young children and they were also caring for their aging parents. So they had a lot of there was a lot of caregiver stress. Okay, most had health insurance. Actually, only four had no health insurance. And we asked two questions. We asked a question, have you had trouble getting a doctor to write you a prescription you needed for yourself? Or did you have problems getting a prescription that you needed for yourself filled? And we asked because of cost or any other reason. And for the most part, they did not have any problems, though one did not fill a prescription due to cost. And we asked them to rate their health, and almost half rated their health as good. Okay, so this is a little table. We asked a series of common health conditions, and you can see hypertension, arthritis were the big ones. When we asked, are you currently taking medication on a regular basis, most were, and we found this interesting because they all had some condition that normally we would expect them to be on medication, and some of them weren't. And then we also asked them, what's your most important health condition? And the most commonly mentioned was hypertension. So what came out of this were, when we just looked at sections of the women and the pharmacists, were kind of themes in four areas. And one was in the area of communication. One was in the area of trust. One was the pharmacist's role as medication expert, and then we asked beyond just dispensing. So under the theme of communication with pharmacists, we found that many of the women would talk about the availability of pharmacists and how they were easy to talk to or they were willing to talk to, and this is one of our quotes. I found that when the pharmacist's not really busy or rushed, they take time to talk to you, but most of the doctors are rushed and you feel like you're being brushed off, but I've never felt that with a pharmacist. What they want in terms of communication is they want straightforward, they want to be respected. So they both talked in terms of what their experience was with talking to pharmacists and what they'd like pharmacists to do. And so I think especially I like the last one, just speak to me like I'm an intelligent person. Having an open relationship with a pharmacist makes it easy. They were mostly very, very positive about the relationships with pharmacists. So they felt that pharmacists, in general, they felt that pharmacists were very trustworthy and that the pharmacists were looking out for them. So one of them told us this little story about the pharmacist who caught the doctor prescribing two medications for the same thing and going, you know, negotiating back with the provider and the provider being angry, but the pharmacist took care of her. So that was good. But there were some people about, yeah, they're mostly good, but you gotta watch them. So they would tell little stories about like getting the Adderall prescription and that it wasn't completely filled and that they weren't trusted. So there was this little distrust. There's a lot of distrust of the pharmaceutical industry, a lot of distrust of the medical establishment, but very little distrust of pharmacists. Okay. So again and again, the pharmacist is there to tell you about your medication and to make sure that you're using it the right way, the optimal way. And so here's one. And we heard a lot of, I really liked working with this pharmacist because then I don't have to go to the doctor. So this was one of them where she had a reaction and she talked to the pharmacist and the pharmacist helped her deal with it. And I've always had pleasant reactions with pharmacists. Okay, so in addition to being the medication experts with the prescription meds, they do a lot of other things. And one that was talked about a lot was advice on over-the-counter medications. Another was trying to help them negotiate, is their problem serious enough to go to the doctor? And another thing that was talked about, because this was a low-income group, about pharmacists were very helpful in figuring out how they could afford their medications. So they did believe that the pharmacists were extremely knowledgeable. You know, my pharmacist knew my disease just like a doctor almost. I said, well, I'm going to go back to that one again next time. I liked him. So when we asked them, because we did query then, did you know that pharmacists can do, you know, this, this, and this? So here's an example of one of those exchanges. And when we did this and we told them, they were all usually very happy to have that resource. So would you like more information about health behaviors from your pharmacist? Yes, I sure would. I sure would. Well, do you feel like you pay attention to that? Because I was trying to get at... is the pharmacist somebody you would trust on this as well as your medications? It's very much, I most definitely will. I pay attention to that type of stuff. Oh, yeah. So this was another similar thing. And this was a woman who was very appreciative that she could go to the pharmacy and have her blood pressure read so that she can keep on top of it and that she doesn't have to go see her doctor just for that reason. So this is another kind of typical positive reaction to that expanded role, because you don't always want to run to the doctor, and just trying to call a doctor can be really hectic if you have some questions. I think it's good that they're there to provide information. So sort of in conclusion, respondents want straightforward, open, two-way, respectful interaction. So they don't want to be talked down to. They want to be treated like they're intelligent. They want the straightforward information. Generally, they consider pharmacists trustworthy. In fact, I asked a question often, do you trust your doctor or your pharmacist more? Generally speaking, they trusted their pharmacist either as much of their as their doctors or even sometimes more. And pharmacists are the medication experts. They're there to give you advice. Sometimes they know more than the prescriber. And then we found lots of things here that pharmacists are available there for consultation on any kind of health issue. That talking to their pharmacist can prevent the need to go to their provider or let them know that that's the place they need to go. So most respondents did say that they had excellent relationships with their pharmacists, but they just weren't aware of everything pharmacists can do. They're very favorable about the expansion of the pharmacist's role, and in fact, several of them mentioned that they want information on non-drug interventions, so they want to know how they could cut down on their blood pressure medications by exercise and eating right, for instance. So patients are ready to work with their pharmacists. They are ready. They need education on what pharmacists can do. It's very important that pharmacists are respectful or the person will shut down. Pharmacists can use the relationships, these good relationships they have with their patients, to do a lot of stuff that needs doing to confront that chronic disease burden, to increase medication adherence, and provide health information when there's problems in access. So this was funded partly by a grant for the National Association of Chain Drugs, and I wanted to thank Ms. Linda Ellis, who's the Executive Director of Women in Touch Ministries, and I have nothing to disclose. That's it. So I don't know, do you want to do questions as we go, or do you want to save them until the end?
We ask questions as we go.
Okay, so any questions? Yes.
I was going to ask, did you ask all about the relationship between the doctor and the pharmacist?
Yes. Yes, but I didn't report on that. That's a piece. I started out with that, and it was running too long, so I took it out. But it was mixed. You know, mostly it's like, well, my doctor's okay, but these other doctors that I've had are just, they, you know, they'll take any time with you. They're rushed. They don't treat you like an individual. You know, how they prescribe for me, and how do I know that that's what's right for me and not, you know, some Jane Doe out there? So there was a lot of kind of mixed stuff about relationships with the prescribers. Yeah.
And I don't know if anybody else in the presentation is going to address a similar question, so just let me know if it's relevant to you. But I'm curious about the communication between the pharmacist and the primary care providers, and whether if they determine that something is going on, needs to be addressed. I mean, what were those communications?
Okay, since we only talk to the patients, I don't know anything except indirectly, like that quote about, you know, there was a problem, my pharmacist caught it, she talked to the doctor was furious, but it got fixed.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Your respondents were African American.
Yes.
Do you know anything about their racial composition of their pharmacists?
I didn't hear anything. My assumption is the pharmacist. So it's Indiana. There are three pharmacy schools now in Indiana. I'm at one of them, and most of our graduates very few of our graduates are African American, and very few of the pharmacy workforce in Indianapolis is African American. So I think probably it's safe to say largely they were white, but they may have been other non-African American ethnicities. I don't know. Yeah? Yeah? Absolutely. I didn't address that. And the reason that they liked the pharmacist is because they were there and they were free. So whether the patient would pay out of pocket, I don't know. And I think probably not. You know, if they're going to pay, they want to go to the doctor. Yeah.
Did you capture anything about pharmacy location type chain dependent?
No, we didn't ask those questions in this particular study. But we know everybody we talked to was in Indianapolis, which has, generally speaking, an easy to get to pharmacy. And they did talk about the particular chains. Like one woman said, well, you know, I like my pharmacist. I go to Kmart and I go to CVS, and I really like the guy at Kmart. But I did not talk to anybody who talked about independence. So I don't know. There aren't that many independent pharmacies in Indianapolis. Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you.